Hello, and welcome to the Stethoscope Issue. I'm Andrew.
And I'm Betsy.
What are we going to be talking about today?
First of all, I thought we need to explain the name, the Stethoscope Issue.
Oh, boy.
This came up when I was posting a congratulations on the first day of school for my brother yesterday. He started medical school at USIS, and I posted it with a picture of the stethoscope that we got him, and it was a Littmann Cardiology 4.
Cardiology 4.
Which is better than any stethoscope you own?
Yes, that is correct.
Okay, just checking. So, what is, not for long, what is the stethoscope issue? What does that refer back to? Or maybe I should start with... How many stethoscopes have you owned in your life?
That's not even a fair question, because I've had so many I can't even count. Not a fair question.
Okay, so the answer is so many you can't even count.
Yes, that's the answer.
Cool. So what did you start with?
Okay. You all are getting a glimpse into the behind-the-scenes workings of the Andrew and Betsy relationship. So the stethoscope issue, the first stethoscope I received was a Littmann Classic SE2, which is a very base model stethoscope that was given to me by one of the PAs that I shadowed during my preparatory work for going to PA school. He gave me a good letter of recommendation, and I credit that along with all of the other excellent recommendations that I got with getting myself into or getting me into PA school.
And when you say base model, you don't mean the $5 ones that the ambulance company buys in bulk.
Correct.
Yep. You mean like decent, but...
It's like, or it was back in the day, it was like a $30 stethoscope. It was good for listening to blood pressures, and you can get some base heart sounds and some sort of base lung sounds, but it lacks some of the clarity of the cardiology level stethoscopes because of the tube size. Tube size is largely responsible for transmitting sound to your ears and helping the sounds to be meaningful as you're trying to evaluate your patients.
Okay.
So, I got to PA school and I did not have a cardiology stethoscope. The tube of my stethoscope was too narrow, and I felt that I should get a cardiology stethoscope so I could hear all of the sounds that everybody was hearing in my class.
Okay.
And also, this is kind of the standard stethoscope. The cardiology stethoscope is what we use most often in day-to-day practice.
Okay.
So I went looking for a cardiology grade stethoscope, and I found one by American Diagnostics Corporation that had the large tubing, had the bell and the diaphragm, and had all the other same features as the other cardiology stethoscopes, and I bought it after we discussed how much money we should spend on these kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
And it was somewhere in the neighborhood of like $80 or something like that. So it was not a cheap stethoscope by any means, but was not the most expensive. And there was...
How long did that last?
There was, if I remember, some discussion about how much we should spend and how much I would need it and all of that stuff. And then we got partway through my didactic year, and I realized that I was not hearing, or at least I thought I was not hearing things the way that my classmates were. And so I started sort of longing for that Cardiology 3.
Mm-hmm.
And for our listeners, the Cardiology 3 was the standard cardiology stethoscope of my day. That's how old I am.
It was kind of top of the line before you got to the electronic ones.
It was top of the line. There was another one called the Master Cardiology Stethoscope, which I looked at, and it may be a cut above, but it doesn't have the standard bell and diaphragm, and I wanted that specific tool set.
So did it not have the pediatric side?
It did not have a pediatric side. That's another thing I really wanted to have available, because I have always dealt with kids, and people who have the Master Cardiology are generally the internal medicine folks who don't see kids.
And just, other people might know this, I don't think I realized this before you went in PA school, but on your standard stethoscope that has two sides to the listening part that's really cold when they put it on your back, the larger side is for adult patients and the smaller side is for pediatrics, and there's actually internal things that are Sorry, is that not actually that, how it's broken down?
So it can be.
Okay.
So the way that Lippmann does it on their cardiology 3 and their cardiology 4 is that there's a large diameter side, there's a small diameter side. The small diameter side can be used as a pediatric stethoscope, but you can also replace the diaphragm with a rubber bell,
okay.
which allows you hear different pitches of sounds
okay.
when you're using it.
Okay.
And so I have actually one stethoscope set up with a large diaphragm and a small diaphragm, so adult and pediatric, and I have one that's set up for an adult diaphragm and a bell.
Okay. Okay, so you had the advanced one, the $80 one.
The ADC
cardiology and then you decided that you didn't think you were hearing all the things you were supposed to be, so then...
Yep, I started casting sidelong glances at other people's stethoscopes.
Oh,
okay. Not literally. I wasn't envious.
Or literally.
I wasn't envious. But I did look at that and I thought, oh dear, maybe I should have invested in that one.
Okay.
And got partway through clinical year before I was really dead set on getting the cardiology 3.
Okay.
And I don't actually remember when that happened, but I think it happened during clinical year.
I thought we ordered one through the hospital.
We did.
Oh, was that a later one?
No.
Oh, okay.
It was your mom ordered it for us.
Oh, right. Okay.
She was an employee of the hospital and they got a discount on these things at the time. So we utilized our connections and got a discount on the cardiology 3 stethoscope.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the one I still carry today, actually. The tubing has managed to hold up, and it has been fantastic.
The only problem was that I think it was my oversight. We did not get you the black metal portion.
That's
we did not
correct.
Get the fully full black stethoscope,
yep.
which is
yep.
what he wanted, which is what we did manage to order for my brother. So
yes.
lucky you, Scotty, you got the full tactical version.
Yep. It's very important for those military folks.
So how many stethoscopes did you go through before you found the one that you really needed?
Two. Yeah. So I have had many stethoscopes, but most of them were the $5 double tube stethoscope that you get as part of your blood pressure kit or whatever when
sure.
you order a first aid supply kit. And those ones, they work fine for what they are. You can hear a blood pressure. The problem is you can't hear anything when there's any ambient noise whatsoever.
Like an ambulance driving down the road.
Yeah. Hmm. So they're good for what they are, and that is in a pinch they help you to hear, but they're not great. And so I have several of them, but I've not used them very often. They're sort of tucked away in my various kits for emergency use.
So then what is the stethoscope issue?
The stethoscope issue actually came up later. We named it the stethoscope issue because I don't remember exactly what it was now, but I did the same kind of thing where I looked at an item that I thought would meet my needs for a budget price. And we talked about it, and I convinced you that this was the way to go. And then a few months down the road, realized, nope, should have bought the more expensive option because that's the one I really needed or wanted or whatever. So we've had this discussion several times.
Yeah, and it would have saved money in the long run to have just gone for the good one at the beginning. It's kind of our version of buy once, cry once.
Exactly.
And to be fair, this does not only apply to Andrew. Andrew does have it apply to a number of different things that he shops for.
Oh, yes.
But it applies to me as well. In the same way that he cannot count the number of stethoscopes he has had, it would take me a minute to figure out how many strollers I've had.
Yes.
And we are long past the stroller stage now, so we have none currently. But it was definitely this one's cheaper, it'll probably work. But then I was...
Casting sidelong glances, and
just like contentment.
Yeah,
like
I think there's definitely an element of contentment to the whole stethoscope issue. Yes.
Yeah. Or you could say the stethoscope issue can be a cover for discontentment.
Sure.
I think sometimes we do need to just settle for if it does work, we need to just settle for it.
Right. Right.
Or at least like speaking of strollers, like. I didn't need to have 3 in the garage. I probably should have been able to pare it down to only having 1 or 2. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But that's neither here nor there.
Well, we did eventually.
Yeah, once our youngest was 5.
Yeah. But I think this goes to an overall philosophy of you mentioned buy once, cry once. The thinking behind that is always save up the extra dollars that it will take to buy the thing that will last, mm-hmm. even if it takes longer.
Yeah.
And for me, especially somebody who has or had zero self-control when it came to money and buying the things that I wanted at times. Not to say that I've completely conquered that by any means, but it's certainly not the same issue that it used to be. Yeah. Anyway, saving up, even if it takes a little bit longer, makes a lot more sense if you end up getting something that will be very functional for a long period of time. And I'll utilize the example of the stethoscope again, because I still have the same Cardiology 3 that I bought back then.
Yeah.
And the ADC stethoscope is nowhere to be found.
I think that we should make a deal with my brother that when he graduates medical school, he needs to buy you the Cardiology 4.
Oh.
In full tactical black.
Oh, sure.
Since I screwed that one up.
Why would I make that deal with him?
Because it's a challenge.
Scotty, if you're listening, close your ears. There's no important. It's fine.
Because it's a challenge we're putting out there.
Sure. That's okay.
Yeah, he's got a...
The gauntlet has been thrown down.
Okay. So that answers that. So when we were trying to figure out a name for the podcast, we thought that it would kind of be a fun name for a podcast. It has some background meaning for us. And you guys can all adopt it to be your own shorthand or pick something that you refer to. Maybe it's your lame examples come to mind for me, like the stand mixer issue.
Yes.
Or
we actually have had that discussion and considered carving out some space for the big one.
Yes, for the Hobart.
Yeah.
Have not done that yet.
Have not done that yet.
If we carved out the space for it, my kitchen would shrink by about 20%. Okay, so that's that.
Yeah.
But what I actually wanted to talk about tonight, now that we're already 10 plus minutes in, is if you were to write a book.
Yes.
What would it be about?
A book. One of the things that I have long wanted to write a book about and have really poked around at is a book that relays some of the experiences that I've had, but frames them in the narrative over many years. The goal of this book would be to tell a story not about what has gone on for me, but to tell a story of what God does with people. And I'm too young to really have that story certainly well fleshed out, but there are innumerable things in my career that have happened wherein I have been at the right place at the wrong time, depending on your perspective, such that I get to help. I get to be a helper and really put my hands to do the work that God has called me to do. And I think knitting all of those stories together is just a cool thing. And I'm starting to get little glimpses of it the more I grow and mature and trust him for the things that are going on. And someday I would love to knit all those stories together so that other people can read them and hopefully see that story that's far better than anything I could ever write put together. That's the book that I would write.
So what are some of the stories that you would want to feature in a book like that?
Oh boy. Well, there, I have been blessed to be in some interesting situations and learn things along the way that have benefited other patients and have grown me up and matured me. Going back to the very beginning of my sort of debut in medicine, I was working as a nurse's aide, and one of the stories that I would tell is about a time when I was with an elderly lady the day she passed away. That experience was really meaningful, was really kind of intense, I think is the best word that I can think of really right now. But in that story, I was actually working with my sister. We were both in the room with this lady and her family, and we were there when she took her last breath. What an experience, I will tell you. There is no greater honor that I can think of than that. Maybe bringing babies into the world. That might also be pretty pretty extensive, though I haven't done that very often.
So kind of the two ends.
Kind of the two ends. I mean, what a privilege to be there at the beginning. What a privilege to be part of that person's and that family's last moments with their loved one. Like, it's just it's a privilege. It's a terrible privilege. It's hard, but it's really amazing. There are some more subtle spiritual things that I would describe in that story that I can't put into words at the moment, but it was an experience that I have not forgotten and hopefully will never forget. So that was the early one. Going forward a little while, I remember my very first call as an EMT with vivid detail, at least in my brain. I don't put that into words very well, so I've got to go to like a writing class in order to in order to figure out how to do this.
But was this your first call as an EMT student or okay,
so
this is one of the, like, you're in class. So the way it works, for the way they teach the EMT class here in Moscow, is once you're enrolled in the class, and it meets twice a week,
two or three times a week.
Mm-hmm. And during the hours that you're in class, if a call tones out, the first two in the class, first EMT to stand up in the class, yep, gets to go on the call, right, to observe.
Yep.
So, kept you awake and kept you listening. So that's what happened. Yep. You were a student in the class, and you got to go along and observe.
Yes. And it was for an injured person out of one of our trailer parks, and we ended up getting some more details later on that the police had been involved and in the process of doing their work. Somebody had been injured. It wasn't a gunshot wound or anything like that. It wasn't anything super exciting. It was just injured person, trailer park. That's all I really knew. And I remember riding in the shotgun seat and grabbing my rubber gloves and just being so nervous, so intense, that I tried to put one of my gloves on and my hands were so sweaty that it stuck. So I'm sitting next to this seasoned EMT trying to pull these gloves on, struggling, and she's watching me kind of like half laughing at me like, are you okay? You got this?
Was it Debbie?
No, okay. No, it was Bonnie Shambaugh. Okay. But yeah, just having her just kind of...
Doing okay there, Sparky?
Yeah, sort of shake her head like... What's wrong with you? And she understood. I mean, we'd all been through this. Yeah. She'd been through the same program, so we all knew the excitement of the first call. But I finally did get my gloves on, and I remember rolling out to the call, and we were driving down one of the streets here in Moscow, and I was looking out the window, seeing the flashing lights reflect off the houses, and just the adrenaline rush was amazing, and things seemed to just slow down, and so I could see, like, it seemed like I could see every blade of grass as we drove by flashing in the lights. And there was a little bit of precipitation. I don't remember if it was snow or rain. And so I could see the lights kind of flashing off of the precipitation, off the rain. And we roll out there, and the first thing I notice are all of the guns.
Not laying around on the ground, but...
No.
That the cops had.
No, cops were locked and loaded. We had the sheriff's tactical team out there. They were all in their full tactical vest, and they had their AR-15s or M4s, whatever they were, and they're strapped to the hilt. And I was like, what did I get myself into?
And just to, like, I don't want you to obviously give any revealing details, mm-hmm, here, but... You said it was something that happened in the course of a police interaction.
Yeah.
So this was not...
It wasn't like somebody got pulled over and there was a police interaction. It wasn't like somebody shoplifted. It was like there was a thing going on out of the trailer park and the cops were heavily involved with that and something happened during that. Yeah.
So just the what have I gotten myself into, sort, mm-hmm, of.
Yep. Yeah. My eyes were big as saucers and I was nervous and just... kind of running around, I imagine, like a chicken with my head cut off. I was trying to be super helpful and, like, really engaged and helping spine board the patient and so on. At one point, I remember I had this flashlight, a tactical flashlight. It used to be a sort of a high-speed piece of gear. It was like 60 lumens, which is not a lot now, but used to be. And I was trying to help the guys see. So I'm standing at the head of the patient, turn my flashlight on, stick it in my mouth, and proceed to shine it right in the patient's face from 2 feet away. And she can't turn her head.
Because she's spine-boarded. She's
spine-boarded. I was like, it occurred to me after just a few seconds of blinding this poor young lady that I really should not do what I'm doing. So I took the flashlight out of my mouth and put it back in my pocket and
put your hands in your pocket and say, stepped away.
I'm sorry, good. I'll stand over here and watch. But yeah, really, really awkward. You know, I just desired to be super helpful and was not. So kind of like, you know, a lot of basic EMTs when they're first starting out. I'd like to think I've gotten more helpful than that over the years, but that's for my colleagues to decide, I guess.
That's amazing.
Yeah, that was a good memory. And there have been a number of ambulance calls where that has been the case, where I've been in a interesting position or right place at the wrong time, so to speak. And then more stories come from my career in medicine since then. The urgent care stories, those are pretty infrequent, but I remember the one where the gentleman says to me, he actually tells the front desk, "Oh, I'm fine, I just have a little cough," and comes back and says, "Actually, what's going on is I've had this burning in my chest for the last couple of days." I didn't want to tell them that I had chest pain because I was worried they wouldn't let me come back and they would send me to the ER. And so I thought, so you've had chest pain for a couple of days and you don't think you should go to the ER. Okay, fine.
Was it he didn't think he should go, or he didn't want to pay for the ER?
He didn't want to pay for the ER visit without having somebody evaluated, I guess, first, which is a reasonable thing. But the challenge for me was, you told the front desk one thing and you told me something completely different.
Side note, this is where direct primary care would come in handy, because he could have texted you immediately when he started having chest pain a few days prior and said, Hey,
should I go to the ER or what should I do? Yeah. But anyway, so you know, check his EKG, and sure enough, he's got ST segment elevation indicating that he's having a heart attack.
So he was actively having the heart attack when he walked in? Had he been actively having a heart attack for 3 days?
Well, I think it had been at least 24 hours, yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah, that was a bad deal.
I wasn't aware that could happen.
Yeah.
Is that normal? Like, to have a prolonged, because I'm used to the TV version where it's sudden and acute.
Yeah.
Is it, like, what percentage are we looking at here as far as, like...
I don't know the actual percentages of, like, what percentage of people present subacutely with with an acute coronary event, but it's a lot. It's a lot. People dismiss this all the time, where they say, it's no big deal, and they're 10 hours into this and their troponin spikes and they've had active cardiac damage and things. He had some cardiac damage. He needed 2 or 3 stents to be placed, and he ended up doing pretty well. I actually ended up having him as a regular patient later on, but it happens quite a lot where people sort of want to downplay it and they say, "I'm no big deal until, okay, I really should get this checked out."
Yeah.
It's kind of a funny deal. And I totally understand that people don't want to come in and get checked out. They don't want to waste their time or their money or other people's time. But at the same time, please feel free.
Sometimes it's not wasting time.
Please feel free to come get checked out if you're concerned about your chest pain.
Yeah.
Always.
Or shoot your provider a text.
You know, if you can do that, that's wonderful.
Yeah, that's handy.
Yep.
Helps take care of stuff like this.
Yeah.
Well, I think we'll try and keep this one short tonight, but I think that we should probably make it a semi-regular thing where if we have a short topic at the beginning, we get maybe a story or two out of you.
Okay.
Because I know you have a few. You've seen, what did we calculate? I thought we calculated at the end of last year how many patient interactions you had had over the last 9 years.
We did.
Was it like 30,000 or something like that?
It had to have been close to 30,000 if it wasn't more than 30,000.
Yeah.
When I was a regular Medicare provider, I remember calculating it once, and I averaged about 4,000 per year.
Okay.
Yep.
So there should be a story or two in there.
Yeah, there's a lot of non-stories, which is great. I'm very grateful for those.
Yeah, I like the non-stories. Yeah,
but there are lots of, you know, I guess there are stories in there. Okay. So tune into the next episode and maybe we'll share one of those with you.
All right. Sounds good.
And as always, please send us your questions. We'd be glad to hear those and answer anything that we possibly can.
Yeah.
Okay, y'all. Have a good night.
Bye.